Hey, the start of something special right here, man. Let's go.
Number one fantasy player right here.
Got past the line. Shut up. Know the rules.
I just want to say this to you. Right now, best in the game.
I know.
Hello and welcome to Pod After Touchdown Fantasy Football. We are here live in a city of fantasy footballers. We are not together, but we are here to talk about free agency. But Andrew, is it really free agency if we're all in quarantine and stuck in our houses?
It's the Corona cast, Sam.
Ooh, I
probably
like that.
One of many, unfortunately, but we got so many delicious nuggets of free agent news from last week that we had to come up with another podcast in these unprecedented times. Had to give more content to the people, for sure.
Of course. And this is, again, a very difficult time for a lot of people, whether they're actually dealing with sickness or mental health issues or what have you. So hopefully we can give you a quick break from your normal day. I know NFL free agency continuing has been a great distraction for me and a lot of people, despite others having takes that it maybe should have been pushed back. But we are going to trudge on and give you some great fantasy football advice. Isn't that right?
Indeed. It's the only thing I can focus on right now, to be completely honest.
So today we're going to make it a bit of a shorter episode. We'll start with our kickoff question as always. And then we're going to go into some free agent discussions, players that moved up in our rankings, moved down, and then do some teammate questions to see, you know, based on free agency movements, which pair of teammates we prefer to take. So with that, let's get into our kickoff question.
And this game is underway.
And for that, we're going to talk about something that happened prior to free agency that went a little under the radar, to be frank, is the new CBA deal getting done with the player. So barring a coronavirus issue delaying this year, we're going to have uninterrupted football for for the next decade. But why don't we, from a fantasy football perspective, Andrew, what is the biggest thing, your favorite thing about this new CBA deal?
Yeah, Sam, don't put that corona evil on the 2020 season, first off. That's what I'm getting more and more worried about, hearing people talk about, you know, we might not have football, but I digress. The potential that I see for fantasy from the new CBA is the potential for multiple bye weeks. And I think there's a couple of reasons that this is great for fantasy. I think the opportunity for players to get more rest and recover after games instead of miss time is a huge value to the players, football in general, as well as fantasy. So you're not worried about guys getting hurt as much. And then I think just strategically, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think one of two things could happen. You know, if there's more buys, that could be where more depth comes into play, and you really have to work to know more individuals that are on the waiver wire and make sure you're streaming well week to week. But at the same time, it could be where those bye weeks are just spread out, which means your studs are going to be out there more often, and you're not going to have to torture yourself as much about that flex lineup decision. So a couple different ways I see it breaking, but either way, more football is, you know, always good for the fans.
That could certainly be a really big impact on fantasy football, especially with, to your point, the spacing of the buys. You know, maybe a guy has two buys in 4 weeks, but another one has two buys in 9 weeks separated from each other. So very interesting stuff there. I think the biggest thing for me is actually with fantasy football preparation, and with the new CBA, the rules for holdouts are a bit more extreme and more painful to the player as far as higher fines and more likelihood that, you know, hopefully they're not holding out. I know that was a big contentious part with the owners and sticking point for them. So obviously holdouts induce a lot of confusion in fantasy football. You think about Melvin Gordon and Le'Veon Bell and all that sort of stuff from years prior and how much confusion that added to the fantasy football landscape. So hopefully that discourages holdouts in the future.
Yeah, we don't have to panic about whether Le'Veon Bell's going to sign or whether Christian McCaffrey's going to play next season and all of those things. Less stress is best.
That is true. Now, there's a lot less stress for several players who have a new deal in place. We're talking about the free agents, the guys who may have moved teams, may not have moved teams. Some players who may have moved teams because their GM is a blithering idiot. But why don't we talk about, again, the free agents. This is the questions that we're going to pose are focused on the impacts of free agency as a whole. So not necessarily just free agent players, but the situations that they impacted, whether it be backfields or passing attacks and stuff like that. But Andrew, I'll start off with this and start on a good note. And to you, which player moved up the most for you?
Yeah, we're really going to start this off with a bang, Sam, because this guy was nowhere on my rankings, but now he is tight end 11 in my rankings, and that is Hayden Hurst. So he was buried on the Ravens depth chart behind Mark Andrews last season. We saw Mark Andrews be really successful in that Ravens offense. And now Hayden Hurst got traded to the Falcons. So technically not a free agent move now that I'm thinking about it, but it was one of the many roster changes that happened last week before the dominoes really started falling from a contract perspective. Now, the Falcons, they invested a lot in him, a second rounder, just as much as you got for DeAndre Hopkins, Bill O'Brien. and right now, Hayden Hurst looks to be the de facto starter on that team. They had an offense last year that really benefited Austin Hooper's, and Hayden Hurst, while he doesn't have a ton of reps in the NFL just yet, he does carry a first round draft pedigree from the Ravens. And last year he was ranked 14th among tight ends by PFF and their grading system. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there from a sleeper, like a tight end sleeper perspective. I even remember shying away from like taking a chance on Mark Andrews last year because there were some rumors Hayden Hurst was getting the first team reps. And I don't know exactly like the details of where that was coming from at the time, and clearly it didn't matter. But yeah, I'm really excited for the sleeper opportunity he holds.
That certainly is a very bold take to, I think, put him as a tight end one at this point in the season. I know you were all aboard the Austin Hooper bandwagon last year before the season started, so maybe you just have a bit of a hunch about these Falcons tight ends. But a very good call nonetheless. I think he, to your point, went from a system where, yeah, they featured the tight end, but he was competing with Mark Andrews quite a bit, and now he's sort of he is the tight end in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But the player that moved up the most for me, and it's not necessarily he moved up the most in my rankings, but moved up the most in my confidence level, is Kenyon Drake. And that's because he is going to be staying with the Cardinals, and they got rid of David Johnson, and he is, unless the Cardinals make a move in the draft, which I don't expect to happen, he is the number one guy. And we saw what he did as the Cardinals starting running back at the end of last year when he got traded. I mean, he came in on Thursday night against the 49ers and nobody expected him to do anything. And he rushed for over 100 yards
giving me nightmares.
A touchdown. Like it was unbelievable. I think that whole offense is in for a big year, as many people expect. You know, Kyler Murray is going to be very highly drafted this year as well. But again, from a confidence perspective, Kenyon Drake moved up a lot for me, and you know, I'd be comfortable having him as my running back one. You know, if I go wide receiver for the first two rounds, or even get him towards the end of the second round.
Yeah, he's right around that fringe RB1 range for me as well. That man was just in shackles under Adam Gase and with the Dolphins last year, so it is crazy to see, you know, his talent can produce numbers in a competent, halfway competent even offense. And I think, like we mentioned last year with the Cardinals, the only way to go is up.
All right, so I'm going to switch gears a little bit here and get a little bit negative and talk about the players that move down the most for us. And for me, it's a pair of tight ends that are obviously on different teams, but the first of which being Austin Hooper. I think Cleveland was just a bit of a confusing landing spot for him. The Browns sort of came out of nowhere. I know the Packers were talked about a bunch and a couple other teams, mm-hmm. but I, you know, competing with OBJ, hopefully a healthy Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, it just doesn't, I don't think he'll be able to be quite as effective this year as he was last year. And I know last year I talked about not buying into the, you know, too many mouths to feed trope, but I really think this might be the case unless the Browns actually show that they can support multiple people. And the other tight end that is moving down for me is Darren Waller. And he was one of four tight ends to hit 100 targets last year, but the Raiders have brought in Jason Witten, Nelson Aguilar, and Nick O'Leary. Foster Moreau is still there. And the splits with
what is this?
Hunter
what is
Renfrow.
This bargain bin of players? What are we?
But it's let me get to my point. It's the, like you said, it's a bargain bin of players. Like two of them are tight ends. If they take two or three targets away from him per game, he's down at like 60 or 70 targets on the year, which is not elite numbers for him. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the point where, again, they're bringing in these guys where just like from a football perspective, yeah, it might help them. But from a fantasy football perspective, like Derek Carr is the check down king. And I just don't think that it instills a lot of confidence in Darren Waller that they're bringing all of these guys in.
Yeah, you, like you mentioned with all the different weapons, they've got Hunter Renfrow there as well, who is coming on a little bit at the end of the season. And I think a lot of people expect them to draft another wide receiver. So this just gets, you know, more and more confusing. And I've heard that sentiment elsewhere about Waller's stock dropping a little bit. And part of it's because he's a bit older as well. But, you know, he's got it a lot better than some other tight end scenarios out
there.
He
certainly does. I think I'm just at the point where if I don't get one of the top three tight ends in Kelce, Kittle, and Andrews, I'm waiting until the very last couple rounds, and I'm going to take probably maybe two flyers on some late tight ends, whether it's an Ian Thomas or even a Hayden Hurst if he's available. Hope that one of them breaks out and provides me some sustainable tight end one number.
That's where I'm at too. I was looking at maybe there's similar to last year, like 6 to 8 guys that I would even consider picking in like the middle rounds if you're not trying to invest the best pick in someone. But after that, like hopefully you can snag a couple high upside guys in the double digit rounds, which is why like Hayden Hurst, for example, you know, he's in my, I think he can be a tight end one, same like Jonnu Smith, but I wouldn't necessarily draft them there. I'm hoping that some other guys go in front of them, like Jared Cook or Eric Ebron, who's on the Steelers now, but I don't necessarily want those guys.
All right. So why don't you tell us who in your mind moved down the most?
Yeah, it's Julian Edelman. You know, Julian Edelman was already low on my rankings. He was wide receiver 28 before I updated my rankings after this first week of free agency. And now he's down to wide receiver 38. Look at a guy who's 34 years old. He is now without Tom Brady, who left for Tampa Bay, if you follow the NFL at all. And Wes, when I was taking a look at this and taking a look at his production, he actually did have a pretty impressive season last year, 1,100 yards and like 6 touchdowns or something like that. But at this rate, I'm looking at his age and I'm just waiting for this Wes Welker-esque drop-off to happen. Now, Welker had the benefit of Peyton Manning coming in after he left the Patriots, and Welker went to Denver, but that was about like 1 or 2 years there before, you know, he finally just succumbed to injury. So, you know, Edelman's had some injury history in the past. I don't like that. I don't like this, whoever is going to be starting for the Patriots to just support him as a wide receiver and his numbers.
So let me basically,
I think someone else can have them. I don't want to take on the risk.
That's fair, but is there any quarterback signing, whether it's, you know, Cam Newton is now a free agent as of Tuesday, you know, maybe they bring in Jameis Winston at the last second. Are there any quarterback signings that could make you want to grab Julian Edelman? I mean, like, who else is that quarterback going to be throwing to is the question. Like, they're going to have to throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
And Julian Edelman's been in that offense for so long.
I think from that perspective, it's like, maybe there's the opportunity to get a value. If you're going to draft wide receiver in New England, I'd rather go for the value of like a Mohamed Sanu or a late round N'Keal Harry and see if there's anything that comes from that. But I mean, you're telling me you'd rather have Julian Edelman than those guys. I mean, ultimately in my rankings, I say I probably would rather have it, but I don't know if it's worth the cost that you're going to have to pay come draft day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, why don't we move on and save that Patriots wide receivers discussion for another day. And the last one here before we move on to some quick hitters is, who are you now targeting because of a free agent mover? Or maybe it's a trade move. I think we've kind of established that we're lumping all of these player movements into one group here. But who are some players that you're targeting now because of free agency?
Yeah, there's definitely one that I'm targeting. If you're looking for a couple, I can provide them. But Austin Eckler is the first one that comes to mind. Now, he was a free agent, I believe, or at least he got a new deal with the Los Angeles Chargers. Austin Eckler was obviously amazing last year, filling in for Melvin Gordon during his holdout, and then even beyond that when Melvin Gordon came back to the team. But now, because of Melvin Gordon signing with the Denver Broncos, and Austin Eckler re-signing with the team, I think that bodes great for Eckler's volume. There were some games where Eckler was only getting like 10 touches or something, and he was still doing great with that. But now, even if that efficiency comes down from last year's performance, he'll be getting more volume. And I think that bodes very well for his fantasy prospects. And I have him right up there near Drake and Miles Sanders, who's another guy I'm targeting after this free agency period.
I like both of those. I think it will be interesting to see if the Chargers do bring in anyone. Obviously, Justin Jackson might have some value in redraft leagues as a backup in the event that Eckler gets hurt. But the two players that I actually am not targeting, similar to the two that you mentioned, are also still on their team. And the first is Baker Mayfield. I think bringing Austin Hooper in was better for Mayfield's, you know, outlook than anyone else's at this point, because he has that extra weapon to throw to. And I think he's just the definition of a post-hype sleeper at this point. And he can be had at a real value. Obviously doesn't add ton of value from a quarterback position through his legs, but I think can get enough done in the passing game. And the other is DJ Moore. I have him inside my top six wide receivers at this point. The Robbie Anderson signing to the Panthers means nothing to me in that regard. Curtis Samuel is the one that I think Robbie Anderson will be taking targets away from. So with Teddy Bridgewater as the quarterback, is known for not throwing very deep passes, I think DJ Moore will benefit the most from that and can take the step into near elite territory among wide receivers.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. When I watch DJ Moore catch a slant on third down and it's just money, it reminds me of Michael Thomas. So I think that Moore also proved last season that pretty much anyone could be throwing him the ball, whether it's Cam Newton or Kyle Allen mostly, and he can still get it done. So Teddy Bridgewater as a quarterback throwing to Moore doesn't bother me at all either.
All right, so to wrap up the show, we are going to do a couple quick hitters. I'm going to list two pairs of teammates that were impacted by free agency And real quick, this is going to be pretty rapid fire because we want to get this wrapped up. I'll get Andrew's input and then I'll give my vote as well. And then maybe we can riff for a quick second. But the first pair is Austin Hooper and Odell Beckham Jr. or DJ Moore and Ian Thomas. So which pair of those players are you taking in a redraft league for 2020?
All right, lightning round, let's go. I'm going to go with Austin Hooper and OBJ in this case. I do like DJ Moore the most out of this group, like you said, but Ian Thomas, it just feels like a complete unknown to me right now, especially with Bridgewater coming in. I feel more confident in Moore than Thomas, obviously, and yeah, got to go with the Browns.
I'm on the opposite side of that. Like I said, DJ Moore is one of my favorite targets for redraft this year. I think Ian Thomas has the ability to have as many high upside games as Austin Hooper because Hooper's going to be competing with Njoku in several other targets. But that one, I think, is one of the tougher ones in my mind. The next is Courtland Sutton and new free agent running back Melvin Gordon, or Emmanuel Sanders and Alvin Kamara. And I'll just go quickly here. To me, it's Kamara and Sanders. I think Kamara is obviously the best player by far out of this group, and Emmanuel Sanders will have a couple wide receiver two games throughout the year, maybe not regular start worthy, but could be a good flex option. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Sam. The Broncos offense is starting to look pretty sexy. The only problem is they have Drew Lock and the Saints have Drew Brees. So I'd have to go with the Saints on this one. Sanders feels like the perfect addition to that team, and they're clearly a Super Bowl or bust offense.
Okay, so the third one is another pair of Cleveland Browns. It's Nick Chubb and Odell Beckham Jr., or from the new offseason winner, DeAndre Hopkins and Kenyon Drake of the Arizona Cardinals. Which way are you going?
It's Cardinals for me. This was a tough one just because we know Chubb and OBJ are so talented, but I just went with the rankings on this one. I think on aggregate or on average, I have Hopkins and Drake both higher on average than Chubb and OBJ, just because I have OBJ quite a bit lower in my rankings right now.
I agree with you there. Now, the fourth one is a bit of some intertwinedness, which I don't think is a word, but we're going to roll with intertwining. But it's Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen, who obviously didn't move teams, and Josh Allen and his new weapon, Stephon Diggs. Which way are you leaning there?
I'm going Stephon Diggs. Everything I've heard about Stephon Diggs is that he is one of the most talented receivers in the league. He just hasn't been able to have a statistical year that matches that talent just yet. I think if Allen continues to improve and progress in his play and his performance as a passer, that would be the connection I'd much rather have than a Vikings pair that could be on a struggling team in 2020.
So I originally had Allen and Diggs, but I'm actually going to go with Cousins and Thielen. I think Thielen has the ability to put up wide receiver one numbers again, even though I have him ranked outside of that right now. And Josh Allen, despite his rushing ability, didn't show as high of a ceiling as he could. They're both rush-first offenses, so I'm just going to take the wide receiver that I think has a better outlook.
I could see where you're coming from there, just because the Vikings, if their defense is very bad, which I've had my eye on, then they could be throwing a lot, and then Adam Thielen's just gonna get his numbers. But I wonder if he benefited a lot from Diggs being on the opposite side of the field as him.
Yeah, that's a really good point. All right, so the last pairing is the GOAT Tom Brady and his new tight end weapon OJ Howard, or Matt Ryan and the aforementioned Hayden Hurst. I have a feeling I know which way you're leaning on this one based on our earlier conversation.
Yeah, you're right. I did choose Matt Ryan and Hayden Hurst. That's my decision today. I have heard OJ Howard compared to Gronk in the past from like a size and speed combo comp. But Tom Brady's so old, and I can kind of see the hype, but I'm not fully bought in yet on that connection.
Yeah, I have Brady and OJ Howard written down, but I think I'm going to switch to Ryan and Hayden Hurst because because of what you mentioned, the weapons that Matt Ryan has are as good, if not better, than what Brady has. I mean, obviously, Matt Ryan has Todd Gurley out of the backfield, which is a major step up from Ronald Jones, the currently the only running back in Tampa Bay. So I'm going to go with Matt Ryan and Hayden Hurst as well. All right. Well, that is going to do it for today. Thank you for tuning in. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Pod After Touchdown. You can follow myself at Sam Hoppen. You can follow Andrew Mackins at Andrew Mackins. You can follow our producer Garner at Garnther. Until next time, be safe, be healthy, be distant. And with that, the socially distant kick is good.